You're listening to Simply Grace, a collection of meaningful thoughts, ideas, and interpretations of the gospel we hope you will find inspiring and thought-provoking. Delivered from the foothills of the beautiful San Gabriel Mountains, Grace Lutheran Church in Upland, California, has been serving the community of faithful for more than 50 years and is headed by the Reverend Wesley Mankey. For more information, or if you would like to make a donation, please visit graceupland.org. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Simply Grace.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 10. Jesus said to the 12, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. Dear God, we confess to you that at times we fall short. We are sinners, and we are victims and also perpetrators of violence and even bias. We know that you can save us. You can free us from our enslavement to sin, and you can help us to welcome and to evangelize in your name. We pray, amen. Well, I like to learn, and it was about 9 years ago that I went back to school, to seminary, to become a pastor, which is a graduate school master's program. And I went to Claremont School of Theology, and I was very excited when I started, and I was also in for a bit of culture shock, because that school was and still is incredibly diverse. I am a Lutheran, as you know, and at least in the United States, the Lutheran Church is like 99% white. We just are. If you look at all of our membership, that's what our church looks like. Now, when I went to school at Claremont School of Theology, that was not the case. The student population had a very large demographic of African American, Korean, white, and other. Lots of different races and even traditions, even non-Christian. And every week we had chapel. And chapel was very powerful because whoever was the preacher, they got to design what the service looked like. So from week to week, the worship service would look really different. And my first week of school at Claremont School of Theology, our preacher, her name, I will say, was May. And that's not her real name. But May was black, she was short, and she was loud. A loud, fiery, powerful preacher. And she was maybe a year ahead of me in school, and I will always remember her sermon. She told a story about what one of the things she had done the summer before school started. She, unfortunately, had a family member, a loved one, I don't remember if it was a family member or a friend, but someone close to her was in jail. And she went to go visit this person. And she told us the story of what it was like to go through security, to go to the visiting area. And it was not one where you had glass in between you. It was one where you were in a room and you had a certain amount of time sitting at a table. So there she was with her loved one, and they were talking, and she was trying to tell this person something, like a story or make a point. And he kept looking away. He kept looking over his shoulders. Any single sound or ruffle or shuffling of feet, You know, he was very jumpy, very agitated. And finally she said to him, "You're making me uncomfortable." And then he looked to her and he said, "You're visiting me in prison. You need to get comfortable being uncomfortable." And from there, that story, May and her preaching, took off. And that was the phrase that she used for each of us that were starting our study. She said, "You need to get comfortable being uncomfortable." And then she went into detail what it was like to be a student at a school that was that diverse, that challenging, with so many different backgrounds. You need to get comfortable being uncomfortable. She even had us turn and say it to our neighbor. Now, from my background in church, during the sermon, you're quiet. And so I was already uncomfortable during that service. And that is how my time at Claremont School of Theology got started, feeling a little uncomfortable. Well, right now, in our world, there is talk about racism. And if you're like me, it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable because no one wants to confront the fact that maybe they deal with bias and prejudice and even racism. I've had multiple people tell me, "You know, Pastor, I'm not a racist. I don't need to talk about this." Which, on the one hand, I get. When I hear someone say to me, "I am not a racist," what I hear them saying is, "I think racism is wrong." And I agree, it's wrong. And I hope that that can be a starting place for us as a church. We do think that racism is wrong, right? I mean, racism is that viewpoint that white skin is better than black skin, okay? That's wrong. Going all the way back to the Bible, bias, prejudice, any kind of color skin is over any other one, is clearly wrong. In our reading this morning, thank you, Chris, for reading from Romans, a big reason why Paul wrote his letter to the Romans and to the Corinthians and to the Galatians was because they were struggling with bias and arguably racism. You see, Paul was a missionary, and he was overcome by the Spirit of God, and he was at first against the church, but he was converted, and his conversion was so powerful that he wanted to go out and bring more people into the church. But as he did that, the people that he brought in looked different. Their skin was different. And then there was tension in the church. Can these people be a part of Christianity because their skin is different? And Paul is very emphatic. Yes, they can. Paul talks about the flesh a lot. We could also call flesh skin or race. Paul talks about being enslaved to the flesh and our minds not thinking clearly and having bias. And that is why talking about racism is difficult, because even though we can conceptually say, yeah, we think it's wrong, we're not always aware of maybe the biases that we have ingrained in ourselves. If we could just say it really simply, if racism is a sin, well, then of course we don't want to sin. But again, when we read Paul's letters to the Romans and throughout the Bible, how successful are human beings at not sinning? To say, "I'm not a racist," is like saying, "I'm not a sinner." So if I were to tell you right now, I'm not a sinner, would you believe me? Maybe if you have a really high view of the pastor, and you'd say, oh yeah, well the pastor doesn't sin. But come on, let's be realistic. Everybody struggles with sin except for Jesus. Therefore, everybody is going to struggle with racism, because racism is sin. It's uncomfortable to talk about. But we have hope. Just like I can't make myself stop sinning out of my own sheer strength, Jesus can. Jesus can save us from the power of sin. God and the Holy Spirit can enliven our hearts, can give us faith so that we can be saved by God's grace and not by our own actions. That's what we believe, that we're saved by grace through faith and not by our works. Only God has the power to save us. Only God has the power to make this world more just, more equitable, to bring about the kingdom of God. One of the ways that we can get to know God, one of the ways that God can work in our hearts and transform our minds, even beyond what's uncomfortable, but to something greater and more beautiful, is when we encounter Jesus. Jesus has the power to open our eyes and to convert our hearts and to make us slowly more into God's image. One of the ways that we encounter Jesus is through other people. Each and every one of us has a unique experience of God, and when we have the opportunity to be with people, especially if they're different than you, you will have a richer understanding of who God is. Jesus said in our reading from Matthew this morning, whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. It's about welcoming. Whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. Again, welcoming, being rewarded. Whoever gives even just a cup of cold water to the least of these as a disciple will not lose their reward. There is blessing. There is blessing, prosperity, abundance, security in welcoming, in getting to know God more deeply as God is revealed through people. That means if you have white skin, welcoming someone with black skin can enrich your understanding of God and open up blessings and reward. Welcoming people as prophets, as righteous disciples. I like to learn. I love school. When I started at Claremont School of Theology 9 years ago, I sat through chapel. I was told to get comfortable being uncomfortable. That same week, I had my first systematic theology class, and I was ready. I had already started reading my books. I love systematic theology. One of the books that we were assigned was called Introducing African Women's Theology by Mercy Amba Oduyoye. Our professor, Janine Sledham, was wonderful. And as we were talking about African theology, I put my hand up in the air. And I was the only Lutheran in my class. There was a Lutheran older than me, or a year ahead of me, and there was one other Lutheran, there were two of us, but I was the only one in that class. And, you know, I wanted people to know that, hey, the Lutherans were kind of cool. We did cool stuff. So I put my hand up in the air, and when it came to African theology, I said, you know, I would like everyone to know that the Lutherans have done a phenomenal job introducing Christianity to Africa, in Tanzania and Namibia. We are growing. It is the fastest place in the world where the Lutheran Church is growing, and our missionary activity is awesome. We have brought Christianity to Africa. Another student put their hand up in the air, and they said, I'd like to ask a question. And the professor called on the other student, thanked me for my comment. And the other student, who happened to be black, African-American, from an AME church, African Methodist Episcopalian, very respectfully and calmly said, well, the question I'd like to ask is, as I have studied Christian history, many of the great theologians, the church fathers, the original bishops and thinkers of the church, were some of them from Africa? And the professor said, yes, that's true. And the student went on to say, what about St. Augustine of Hippo? Was he African? And the professor said, yes. And wasn't Martin Luther influenced greatly of all the church fathers, of all the early thinkers, of all the theologians? Wasn't it Luther who reached past Thomism and Aquinas, which is great, but Luther reached back to Augustine as a strong theological source for the Reformation? And the professor said, yes, that is true. And the student said, so is it fair to say that Christianity came from Africa to Europe before it ever went from Europe to Africa? And the professor said, yes, that would be true of the history of the church as we know it. And he said, thank you. I felt uncomfortable. I was called out, but not too far. I have to say, it was gentle the way it was done. No one dragged me through the dirt or anything like that. But it was a moment where I was confronted with a bias I had had because of the way I had grown up, because of what my church looked like, because of the books I had read and what I had been exposed to. I hadn't seen the big picture. And the big picture is that, yes, even Martin Luther, who I think is a cool guy, 500 years ago, loved to read his stuff. I'm a pastor of a church that took his name upon it. Luther, deeply influenced and shaped by African theologians. Jesus says, when you welcome a prophet in the name of a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. I welcome the words of my classmate that day that helped me grow as a person. In that moment, I was a little uncomfortable. But when you grow, when you work out, when you stretch as a human being, it's a little uncomfortable, but you end up stronger, more blessed, and rewarded. So let us each welcome prophets, righteous persons, disciples. And as we do so, we will be rewarded by God. God's church will grow and be strengthened, and our world will grow and be strengthened. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this weekly offering of Simply Grace. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast, and if you would like to help us in our effort to serve the community, please visit graceupland.org and click Give. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us again.